Morning,
Chair. Morning, Chairperson.
Morning. Minjani kwala kwaMhlanga.
Sivukile hle.
Yes, lochile mandevela kya kid.
Ah, sivuke kwamareghe.
Bakaye bana ba le ba vule gate kwa ba re ba tswa kwa Mhlanga.
Ko ka siaka.
Ya.
Ba vule gate.
Hey, ba tswale. They took
South Africa. Oh,
Lama, those kids are coming from Comrade Diggle at the township. They are quite young, they are still at high school. They look old when they speak on the video, but they are very young. Honorable members of the standing committee, honorable members of the select committee, officials of parliament, treasury, if they are present. Today, this meeting is to process and adopt the report on the MTBBS 2020. Opening the meeting is officially open and you are all welcome. Apologies and roll call. Alan Mangweni Tebuko.
Yes, Chair. Chair, from the Select Committee on Finance, we only received two apologies from Mr. Ryder and Mr. Okam. Currently in the platform, I've got Ms. Mamarekhane, Ms. Mahlangu, Mr. Njadu, Mr. Karim, Mr. Dutoit, and Mr. Muletsane. I'm hoping Mr. Mkhiva is going to join us very soon. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, Mangwe. And then, Alan, Tebu. Hello, Tebu.
Yes, sir. We've received an apology from Mr. Hill Lewis.
Okay.
And presently we have Ms. Abrams and Dr. George and Ms. Madilet.
Okay, so it's only the four of us from standing committee.
Chair, sorry,
Chairperson, I hope you are aware of
Ms. Nkomo has also just joined. And voter person.
Okay. You are welcome, Comrade Daniel and Akbar. Chairperson Mahlangu, you were saying something.
I was saying, Chairperson, I hope you are aware of Honorable Kijimanima Kofana's situation. I haven't heard the committee speaking about it from last week.
Yes, he communicated the message to the effect that his father has passed on. We have to send him condolences messages, which he acknowledged even yesterday. We were talking to him, but now that we are here in the joint committee, honorable members would like to inform you that honorable Gijimani Kostana has lost his father last week. We have since been laid to rest. May his soul rest in eternal peace. Thanks very much, Comrade Village. Are we done with apologies and roll call? Okay.
Yes.
Then let's move to the it's the third item, deliberating on the 2020 MTBBS draft report. Are you able to slide the report on the screen? Alan Tebogo Mangwen, who is responsible for putting the report on the screen?
Hi, Chair, is it appearing on your side?
Yes. No, I can see it, Mangwen. Thanks very much. The report is there on the screen. I don't think we'll have to go into the detailed background, the submission one by one. I think if we can go direct to observations, is item, is it seven? There are responses by Treasury, Committee of Observations and Recommendations. I suggest we go to item 8. Comrade Karim, what's your view? So that we don't take much time on the long background, which we know, the briefings, the submissions. We have gone through all those stages. I think what is critical today are the observations and the recommendations.
Agreed, Chairperson. That's the way we've been doing it since 1429. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Honorable Karim. Mangwin, okay, we're already there at 8. Let me open. Okay. So we'll go through each item, starting from 8.1 until the last. So 8.1, there we are. The revised fiscal framework has been tabled 2 months ago, the special adjustment. The committee recommends that this report be read with its observations and recommendations. Any clarity seeking question or comments? Secretaries, you'll assist me in identifying members who would like to make comments and ask questions. There's no comment and a question on 8.1. Let's move to point 8.2. It's still the observation. It's quite a long paragraph.
Yes, Chair, I think Honorable George would like to comment on 8.3.
Okay. Dr. George.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, colleagues. I'm not going to switch my video on today. I'm in the field and my connection is a little bit shaky, so I'm hoping that I'm not going to have a problem. But anyway, I wanted to just say on 8.3 was that our view is that Operation Vulindlela should include facilitation of entrepreneurial activity. Now, it doesn't do that, so that we do not believe that it is going to be effective. That is just a comment I wanted to make on 8.3. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, that's a comment from Dr. George. In regard to entrepreneurial opportunities. Okay. Note that, Dr. George. 8.4.
May I comment on that?
Okay, Dr. George.
Thank you, Chair. The ERRP is basically a plan for bigger government to rescue the economy. It should rather give power to the people to enable them to become more entrepreneurial. That is a comment I wanted to make on that number. Thanks, Chair.
Your comment is linked to what you raised in 8.3.
It is indeed, yes.
Okay.
Chairperson, it's Yunus.
Yes, Chairperson Karim.
Yeah, you know, I don't know the procedure. It's unusual. I got from Dennis Ryder from the DA some proposed amendments. So I asked him to refer it. He said he's involved with the election. To ask Willie Alcombe to present the proposed changes and also ask him to give it to Lewis or George or somebody. So, Mr. George, can you take us through the, because it's a single report, just a reminder. I think Dion knows that. He's been around for a long time. And
yes.
I've got like a page of amendments here. Do you have it, Dion? Don't you want to take up Genesis issues?
Yes, Chair, I actually do have them. My understanding was that given that it's different committees, that Dennis himself would take them up. But if they are, well, he's clearly been disconnected or something, I'm quite happy then to raise them.
Yeah, no, Chairperson, Dion, just do it, please. You know why? This fellow, your colleague, and Willie, I think I involved the by-election. It's a legitimate reason for not being here. I only saw it about 10 to 9. So I asked him to contact one of you. It's fine. It's a single report. And what he's saying here in 8.4 is reasonable. I don't think it's something that's controversial. I browsed through them. My own view is, look, you people as the GA or A party have the right to express your point of view. So, you know, just take the committee through it. You know them better than I do. You could argue for them. I will just note them, whereas you could argue for them. John, can you do that, please? Chairperson, that's perfectly reasonable. It's one report. All we do is we change the word standing to select. Okay, John. I mean, Commander Chair, there's no issue here. You can raise Dennis's issues.
Okay, we're still at 8.4, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
That's fine. Okay.
Dr. George?
Yes, what my colleague Dennis's comment was is that the real reason for the decline in unemployment is due to the narrow definition of unemployment requiring a person to be looking for work to be recorded. Now, that is obviously correct. That's the narrow definition as indicated in the report. He said this was impossible during lockdown for people to actually look for a job. So the result is a statistical anomaly based on a controversial definition, and that point must be made in that paragraph. So the point he's making, which I agree with, is that we are saying unemployment decreased, but it was obviously because of the narrow definition of unemployment. And I think it should be noted in that paragraph then somewhere. That is his request. That is because of the narrow definition that unemployment has decreased. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. I think the Secretariat will assist us in getting the latest FSA data, because they do have the narrow definition and the broader definition where they look at the labor force survey. And that's where the two come together. So I think State SA is an authority in that subject. So the Secretariat will assist in that regard to get the latest in regards to unemployment statistics. And then that will be noted in the report. 8.5.
Yes, Chairperson. There were two comments. One was from Dennis Ryder, one from myself. Firstly, I will give mine, is that the ERRP focuses on government driving economic growth. Now, if we have an incapable government, it can't do that. So it should be focused on giving back power to the people and encouraging entrepreneurs. And that ties into my previous comments, is that throughout the government's intervention, we don't believe that there is enough focus on entrepreneurship and small business to encourage people. Rather, it's more focused on government driving this, which we feel is not necessarily the right approach to follow. But that's a comment on my side. And then Mr. Ryder, Honorable Ryder, he also just wanted to point out that we should be considering the issue of value for money must always be a consideration. What he argues is that 100 rand spent and kept locally beats 90 rand spent overseas, but this has its limits. And so the definition of value is important. So I think the point he's making here is that in the economic recovery, we must bear in mind that we must consider where we get the value. I do think he's saying that we must encourage local development, entrepreneurship, etc., similar to what I've been saying. Thank you.
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable Masango. Where are you going?
Chairperson, the issue of the local pie, the encouragement of the local pie, I think it's covered on that paragraph that Dr. George is referring to.
Okay.
Okay.
And the issue that, before I comment, I say, Honorable Abraham, over to you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I think we must have a way of capturing our definition of unemployment once and for all to include entrepreneurs, so that we don't have each and every one of our recommendations referring to entrepreneurship. Rather, let us have a way of understanding that when we talk unemployment, when we talk poverty and inequality, we want to make use of entrepreneurs to deal with that. I'm just saying, Chair, this is now the third recommendation where Honorable George is raising the issue of entrepreneurship, meaning that it runs through and therefore it has to be captured as part of the challenge.
Okay. No, thanks, Honorable Abraham. That's the reason why I requested Secretariat and the researchers to look at the latest data from SSA, because it's an entity which is an authority on this subject of gathering data on unemployment, which they have got two definitions as to what unemployment is all about, the narrow definition and the labor force survey. So I think they will assist us with that, and then we are able to capture that in the report. However, the issue raised earlier on by Dr. George, that government should have no role to play and take power to back to the people, I think it's an ideological debate, which I think we will note, but not necessarily agree that government has got no role to play. Government has a very important role, and it has been doing that over many years, even during apartheid time until now. The state has been central in driving the economy, but also make the conditions conducive for the private sector and cooperatives to thrive. Honorable Masango?
Sir, you just said something that I wanted to ask, because I couldn't understand how do you differentiate the role of the government in terms of the creation of employment or increment of employment, because the responsibility of the economy, active economy, lies with the government to create a conducive environment for investors and business entrepreneurs to come in. But also, I wanted to check if ever we are really addressing, because I think what the Treasury has raised and the public stakeholders have debated on, the focus was on what was presented. And I think we should not start afresh to develop the ERRP. These issues that we might be raising on the entrepreneurs and stuff, they are there in the plan. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Masangu. And we move to 8.6. This issue of spectrum, Comrade Digeret and Comrade Eunice, is a very, very old item. I don't know whether we can get an update from those who are closer to the Portfolio Committee on Communication. It seems there is a progress in this regard. The committee urges government to accelerate the auctioning of the digital spectrum. Did I hear the president or the minister of communication saying something in this regard so that we are able to capture it properly? Even researchers can assist us in updating us in this regard so that whatever we capture here, it is in line with the latest development.
Researchers are more relevant.
Honorable Masang.
I'm sorry, Chair, just to come in. I'm saying I think researchers are more relevant for us to be able to finalize this thing and be correct.
Yes.
If I may come in.
The way in which to.
Okay. Dr. Sauber, can you assist the meeting?
Yes, Chair. The auctioning of the digital spectrum is part of the items or the priorities for the ERRP. So it means it hasn't been done yet. The cost of broadband is still very high, and there's been no auctioning of the digital spectrum. So I think that this point captures what currently is happening. There are maybe plans on the way, but it hasn't been auctioned. So I think it's important to repeat what the committee said before, that it should be accelerated. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. No, thanks, Dr. Thornton. That's the latest. Okay. 8.7. Honorable Abraham.
Chair, I'm sorry to take the committee back. I just wanted to say this 8.6, whether it is our view as a committee that there has been failure in the office of the presidency and the insistence of the on the response. I think, Chair, as a committee, ours is to insist on a policy framework. That is, if current legislation doesn't assist us with localization, then we need either new legislation or an amendment rather than how we have put it there.
Okay. Can we?
Sorry, Chairperson. Can I just ask which point is this?
I withdraw.
It's 8.5.
8.5.
Yeah.
Why do you withdraw?
Okay.
Chairperson, can I raise an issue here?
Yes.
This is Parliament, and really, what is happening is unprecedented, Chairperson. My own view is that actually, I have raised this with the Legal Services Unit one. It is unacceptable that 4 years later, Chairperson, the presidency, I'm tired of saying this, I've handed it over to the Standing Committee on Finance and decided, you know what, there's nothing more I can do if the committee as a whole doesn't want to implement its own decision. I didn't expect Professor Rousseau to raise it again. It's irrelevant whether Professor Rousseau raises it or not. Surely it is hypocritical of us as the ANC to argue for localization and then refuse to act on a decision which has been on our agenda, not just as Parliament, but at different times, as you know, in the ANC forums, that it is high time that we ourselves, as starting with the executive, right, actually spend on cars that are assembled in South Africa. The unions want it. Many of us have asked for it. I don't want to repeat, Chairperson, it's like boring, and it bores me to even say this. I have written several letters and have engaged with Mr. Cornup so many times. It doesn't matter what the issue is. Surely the presidency is obliged to answer the Parliament, even a one-page letter that says this. So you will recall this has been on our reports. We're not saying, so now we're retreating from what we've said before. There is nothing wrong in saying the committee continues to, of course, of the president's failure to reply. That's happened. We can't rewrite the history. We can say we dissociate ourselves from our position. That's different. The majority must take a decision on that. And I don't see anything wrong in saying, in fact, it's very mild, Chairperson. But if the majority want to withdraw that or change it, I'm fine with it. But it's setting a precedent where, you know, or we must have a rational discussion about it. Why is the presidency not accountable to Parliament? I don't understand. What is this? Not an executive presidency. Even Trump, I think, is answerable in some sense or other to the legislature. What is wrong in our saying? What more can we do? Chairperson, why are we abandoning our role? But fine, if that's what we want to do, fine. Then let's drop this issue. And then, you know, talk about localization to the public out there while we don't want to do it. But really, Chairperson, in my view, this is a big retreat. I would suggest you and I have a teleconference with Cornup and with the relevant official in the presidency and ask them, if the presidency disagrees with this proposal, all they have to do is say, we hear you. They're not obliged to do what we're asking, but they are obliged to answer, Chairperson. 4 years later, it hasn't come, despite repeated attempts. Thank you.
Thanks. Comrade Dugaledi, I see you are raising your hand.
Yes, thank you, Comrade Chair. I think after the explanation by Comrade Karim, it rings back that either in the SONA 2020 or 2019, the President has made this commitment. What we need to do, and I think Honorable Karim has been proactive in the matter to make follow-ups in terms of when does it have to start. And I remember, I'm just so bad in recalling the days in the NCOP in terms of the questions to the ministers. The issue, I think, was still outstanding with the Minister of DPSA, where the matter would be, because it has to be in the ministerial handbook. So it is good that we raise the matter so that it can be fast-tracked and we don't just being rhetoric about it, and we are seen to be oversighting on the matter, because there was a national commitment by the president that I remember, that the president has made that commitment. It's not a Professor Rousseau's matter. We have agreed to it, and also in our forums, as the ANC, we have agreed to it. and the president pronounced on it. Thank you.
Thanks. As far as I understand, this is a recommendation that has been taken before by the by SCOF. So here we are reiterating our recommendation in this regard when it comes to the concept of localization. And I believe that when the public procurement bill comes to Parliament, amongst other issues that it will have to look at is the issue of localization. If you look at the analysis of the PPO and FFC, they raise this matter very sharply and even recommend what needs to be done in this regard. So I think we are at the same wavelength, all of us who are here, that this is not a new matter. It's a matter that has been there, and we'll have to find a way of making follow-up. And Comrade Karim suggests that we talk to the officials in the president as chairperson, something that we'll have to do. Okay. Let's go back.
Can I just comment on one more thing? Noxy might be able to help you, because you, for family reasons, I don't think was there. Last week, Edgar Adichie said, okay, fine. He's not familiar with this issue, but he will come back to us on it. I reminded him that we wrote to one, possibly two ministers of finance after we failed to get a response from the presidency. So I think our decision, not we can help with that, but perhaps Sakila can do too, was that we also write to the Minister of Finance. Chairperson, you can anticipate that the minister will be sympathetic. He might even say, no more cars, bicycles, South African manufactured bicycles, which he probably support what we say here. So for once, the minister and I, or the minister and us, would be completely, in agreement. So you know, maybe Noxy wants to say something. Although being younger than she is, my memory is better. But Zakela will help because he takes lots of notes.
Okay. You are putting Noxy on the spot. I think she agrees with your recommendation, Chairperson.
Yeah, no, she's old. She forgets, Chairperson. It's understandable, but Zakela will remember.
She suffers from dementia.
No, that's not right, man. I'm just teasing her because she's only raised by age.
You are sending that cliche.
I'm teasing
her. The same Okay. I think if you remember, a week before last, when the president was responding to the debate on the ERRP, this is one of the issues that he was very emphatic in regards to localization. And it's just that I can't paraphrase what exactly he said, but it is part of the responses. Maybe what the secretariat and research team should do is to expunge that statement of the president in regard to the issue of localization, so that when we make follow-ups with officials and ministers, we are able to say, this is what the president has said, and how are you actioning that? And as I've said, the other issue might be the issue of legislation, because you must make sure that you tighten policy and legislation. As we remember, our trading partners are going to protest and will want to take us to the even WTO in this regard. So we'll have to protect ourselves, make sure that we have got a tight legislation, a tight policy. You remember from time to time, for instance, America, every time we want to move on textiles and this, they threaten us by kicking us out of AGOA. Yeah, if you do this, we'll kick you out of AGOA. If you don't want our goods, will do this. So we are being threatened time and again. So as we have said, Comrade Eunice, I think yourself and myself, let's make follow-up even at other levels, that is political levels, to make sure that this matter come to fruition. Let's go back to 8.7.
Chairperson, I have a comment here from Honorable Rada, if I may. He says that he would like to please consider adding the following, that policy certainty is imperative in order to stabilize investment. He would like that to be added into the paragraph.
Okay.
Certainty is imperative in order to stabilize investment.
Does the comment from Dr. George coming from Honorable Ryder? I don't think there's a problem in regard to that comment.
Chairperson?
Honorable Masang.
I just want to check if what Honorable Ryder is raising is new. Because I think when the president was presenting the ERRP, he emphasized on the policy issue and the implementation. I don't know. It even if we agree to put it, but it should not sound like it's new. We must emphasize that what the government has committed on must be implemented. To me, it sounds like it's a new thing. It's a new item that comes to the platform.
If I may, no, I don't believe it's new at all. In that, I mean, I think we probably all agreed. I think the president has said it himself, that policy certainty is imperative to stabilize investment. So perhaps we could put it, phrase it in a different way.
Yes.
But I do think that it is, I mean, you know, it seems pretty obvious to me, but I think that maybe just confirming that it's not necessarily a bad thing, because I think we all agree that we need to have policy certainty. So I think that's the Honourable Ryder's point in this instance. Thanks, Jay.
Okay, thanks. Honourable Maslow.
Chairperson, I don't really much disagree with the point. My disagreement or my concern is on the wording, the way it will be worded and it will sound. So Secretariat will help us that we are saying this is the commitment that was done by government and we want to see this happening. Put emphasis on it. As we're doing oversight.
Okay, thanks. I think Secretary, we have captured that. Noxie?
Yes, Chair. Maybe to put it in a way that will capture the view of Honorable Ryder as well as what Honorable Masango is raising. We must, as the committee, reiterate the view of government and urge for implementation. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honourable Abraham. Let's move to 8.8.
Chair, if I may, also from Honourable Ryder, comment is as follows. He said, it has however been pointed out by several commentators that the Treasury projections have been consistently optimistic. That is in the report, and that is so. And he said, this is also included 8.11, which comes later. And then he said that a cross-reference may assist. So what he's saying here is that points 8.8 and 8.11 seem to talk to one another, and therefore it may be useful to put a cross-reference in the point 8.8. But yeah, I think that I think it's probably more a technical issue that he's just wanting to make sure that when 8.8 is read, that it's also read together with 8.11 as a cross-reference. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thanks. 8.9.
Chair, from Honourable Ryder, I will read his comment here. He says, bailouts to failed SOEs have already been flagged by the Finance Minister as unsustainable and undesirable. It is the view of some members of the committee that this is reckless, populist, uninformed and naive. Giving up on spending money on desperately needed service to those who most need it for the sake of propping up elite and elitist projects is forsaking the people of South Africa. So I think this is basically a point that he's making in terms of the bailouts to state-owned enterprises, is that what he's saying here is that he does not believe that the state-owned enterprises should be bailed out at the expense of service delivery to the people. That's his comment. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. That's the view of Honorable Ryder. Talking
Chair?
From the Minister has said at some stage. Honorable Matao.
Chair, I remember, you'll pardon me, I remember when we engaged the Minister on the issue, he said this was not on the SAA matter, it's not a bailout. But I failed to understand, if it's not a bailout, what is it? And I think the concern has been raised in meetings, even from the stakeholders and from us as the committee. I'm just a bit concerned the language that we're using. The language that, I don't know if that's what the Honorable Ryder has written, Doctor. But can we be more moderate, not moderate per se, but we must not use such harsh and to a certain extent unparliamentary words. To me, they are too, I know I'm very much concerned. I've been there with in the fifth term. We've been fighting about this thing of SAA. I have been watching what is said and listening to what is said on Zondo Commission. It's really disappointing. It's making one angry that we've been there and these things have been happening. Some of the things they referred to the committee that they've raised, but we are also putting money in a pitless, in a bottomless pit. So I want it to be heard in strong words, but not in the words that are coming from Honorable Ryder. I don't have the actual words. Honorable members can, even Honorable Dr. George, you can try to amend. I'm not saying much sweetheart to the government. Don't get me wrong.
Chair, if I may, I do agree with Honourable Mahlangu regarding this issue, regarding the bailouts or whatever you want to call them. I think the first instance is that, I mean, you know, whatever we call them, I mean, it certainly looks like a bailout to me. But the minister says that it isn't a bailout. So I think, you know, to me, I think that's a bit concerning in that, I mean, I don't really mind what we call it. The fact of the matter is additional money is given to, in my opinion, a failed state-owned enterprise that is not going to actually help them because it's not enough money to keep them afloat. So it's wasted money at the expense of the people. But I agree, we don't need to use inflammatory words. I think the key thing is what's concept that we're certainly trying to put across. And I think the point that Honorable Ryder is making, and I fully support him on that, is that it is very concerning. And it comes up again in point 88, point 16 that I will also talk to, is that where he's saying that a lot of money has been put into SAA and other state-owned enterprises. And it's not clearly one turnaround after the other isn't working. It hasn't worked. So, you know, you wonder whether it will work in the future. Why would it? If it hasn't worked before, what's going to change? And so spending that money and then crowding out service delivery on education and health and security, etc., it just doesn't fit well. And as members of parliament, we are, I believe, obligated to at least point that out and say that it is not acceptable that this happens. Now, how we phrase it, I mean, I don't particularly mind what words are used, but I think it's important that the concern is put, you know. I mean, that's the important point that Honourable Ryder is making. And I think all of us, when we saw the public participants, every single one of them, nobody supported the bailout or whatever you want to call it of SAA. So, I mean, my view is that there's a general view or consensus almost everywhere that this is not money well spent or necessarily money well spent, and that we should be saying something about it. I think that's the crucial issue. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks.
Chairperson?
Honourable Matam.
Chair, I agree with what I appreciate that myself and comrade Dr. George, we can find each other, and over and above what we are agreeing on, I think we have the right to know what is this money for. If the minister is saying it's not a bailout, what is this money for? Remember when we last year when we were approving the bailout for Eskom, we said there should be conditions. We are responsible for the public purse. So therefore, how are we going to monitor the spending of this money that it has been spent for what is meant for and the value for money if we don't know why they are given money? Thank you, Chair.
Chair?
Okay. Honourable Abram?
Chair, I think the person who is assisting us with posting the presentation must just put the whole of 8.10 on so that we are able to see it properly. Because as it is, it's not complete.
Okay.
Yes. Because Chair, the issue that's the area I wanted to speak to, the issue of growing the economy and create jobs and also reduce inequality. But also I think Chair, we are capturing it here. It's exactly what Honourable Dr. George has just said, in terms of taking into account the submissions that have been made by the public during the hearing. For me, it suffices to say that we are also, like National Treasury, interested in ensuring the growing of the economy, the creation of jobs, and the reduction of inequality in our country. But also, quite important for us as public representatives, as we stand in for the public, it's quite critical that Treasury takes a look at the submissions of the entities that had submitted during the public hearing. For us, that should be a sufficient check. It covers the concerns that are raised by Honourable Ryder as well. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Masamu. Honourable Masamu, I see you raising the hand.
It's an old hand, Chair.
Okay. Yeah, Secretariat, just expunge those words, reckless, populist, uninformed, or naive. It doesn't sound well for a parliamentary committee to use that language and put it in a proper way that the committee is very concerned about the issue of the bailout. And as far as I remember, last week we took a decision to the effect that we want to meet SAA, and I think we should extend it to the business rescue practitioner. They should come. Of course, we no longer have space in the program this year. Early next year, after February budget, we should meet the SAA treasurer and the business practitioner to give us a breakdown. What do they want to use this money for? The 10.5 billion and the other billions that has been allocated to them before. We want a full accountability. I think there was an agreement in that regard that we'll have to meet them in the new year and get a full explanation. But in 8.10, let's take out those words, reckless, populist, uninformed, or naive. Akbara Dutoy.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, thank you for noting me. While you're on the matter of inviting SAA, could we go as far as inviting Minister Pravin Gordhan as well, since he is in charge of what is happening on that side? I do not see the use of getting the management or the new board of directors of SAA in if we do not know exactly what the whole situation entails and what the way forward is. I mean, we as a committee learn from media and hear from the media that the funds are supposed to assist with severance packages and the people that would be retrenched or that will retire. I mean, that is in no way... If money is used for that, then obviously it will not be used for a turnaround strategy. And what guarantee would we have that SAA would be a success? So I think while we get SAA, shouldn't the committee agree to ask Minister Pravin Gordhan to take part in the discussions as well? Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, may I come in here, please, Eunice?
Thanks, Dutoy. Honorable Chairperson, then Chopper.
Yeah, thank you. Firstly, obviously, you know, it would not be, it seems to me, practicable or sensible to just have ourselves. We must have the relevant portfolio committee. And I also think that since this issue is primarily an appropriations issue, not so much a fiscal framework issue, though the two are obviously related, it should really be a joint committee's meeting if we're having it, not just as finance, but appropriations. Because ultimately, it's that committee, not ours, that decides where money goes, how much, and to whom, and so on. It's not the fiscal finance committee. So, Chairperson, I agree with you. I think it should be the four finance committees in both houses and the public enterprises committees in both houses. And so that means negotiations around dates and so on, so that we're not, you know, you have an idea in another context where this issue arose, where there were divergences. It's understandable. So, for example, if I'm in the public enterprises community, it is understandable I have a particular perspective on it because my concern is solely public enterprises. And if you're in finance, obviously there's a tendency of a globular perspective because we're dealing with monies, especially the appropriations committee, across all the departments, across all the spheres. So, Chairperson, I support what you say, but I also like to suggest that we include public enterprises and the appropriations committee very crucially. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Comrade Minister. Can we do it around February when we get the briefing on the February budget? Around that time, when Treasury comes, we invite the other colleagues from the enterprise. Of course, there will be four committees. Finance committees, appropriations and finance, both houses. Will it be fine around February when we get a briefing on budget, Comrade Eunice? so that we don't drag it too long into the year.
Yeah, Jefferson, you're right. Ideally, it should be then, except that you know how horrific the deadlines are. So once the budget is presented, we have a limited number of days. When you try to get Treasury here, usually, Edgar, I see it on, I think on the participants list, they'll tell you it is very hard for them to come from the period, let's say, third week of January into the budget date. But we can negotiate now with them, and maybe when we come back to Parliament, within the first week, you know, we're back, we should call them in. So that, or the other option, yeah, I would say coverage check. The first week that Parliament reconvenes next year, all the committees concerned be asked to come in, in short, Treasury and Public Enterprises Minister, and Treasury and Public Enterprises officials are also there. Thank you. I agree with you. But earlier than when the budget is there, so that, you know, it does, well, we can do it maybe, Chairperson. I'll leave it to you, though.
Okay, Chairperson. Dr. Schlope, I saw you raising a hand. Seemingly you wanted to clarify something.
Yes, Chairperson, I needed to clarify something. All these comments are in respect to 8.10, is it?
Which one? Which comment, Dr. Schlope?
The comment about ACA and the input that was made by Dr. Dion George. Are they in respect of bullet point 8.10?
Point 10 is about credit ratings and the committee's views on the fiscal framework. I think SAA come later. You know, Dr. Klopper, when you deal with politicians, they can't follow the sequence as you deal with the administrators. They can raise and pick up issues which are still coming, and we don't stop them. But here, what we are saying is that those words of reckless, populist, uninformed, or naive should be taken out of the paragraph.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And what is the suggestion of what should be put there? In the place
of very concerned as a committee. Just find proper English word which will be polite, but but very strong in raising our discontent. Dr. George.
Okay.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Just on the question of, you know, if it falls under 8.10, I think the reason why Honourable Ryder raised it there was because obviously if there are continual bailouts or whatever you want to call them to state-owned enterprises, it does actually impact on our credibility, it impacts on our fiscal framework, it actually impacts on the fundamentals of our public finances. So I think that's probably why he raised it there. But yeah, I just wanted to clarify that as well. Thanks, Chair.
Okay.
If I can come in again, Chair, if Dr. George could please just type on the chat here the exact words that are used by Honorable Ryder, just on the chat so that I can be able to accommodate that in the paragraph.
And I just also say, Chair, that he did use the words reckless, populist, uninformed, and naive, which the Chair was basically indicating he'd prefer a sort of different frame.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to changing that frame. So what I'll do is I will type in this paragraph as it stands, and then you can just have a look and see how it would then fit in according to how we'd like it reflected then.
Chairperson.
Yes,
I'm saving Dion, not that he's my buddy, but I'm saving him from work. I have forwarded Zakir on both his email addresses, the email I got from, what's his name, Ryder. So the whole submission Ryder made to me, which I drew to your attention that the meeting is with Zakela. So Dion, you don't have to do it. I sent him the whole thing.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You owe me.
Okay, Honorable Karim. 8.11. Okay. 8.12.
Why is it no longer flighted, Chair? They're flighting you now.
You can't see the screen from your side.
No. Oh, it's minimal.
I can see it like before, Chair.
It's clear as always, Chair.
Okay. Mangwen and Tebu, can you try to expand the screen? I mean the slide. Is it possible?
I think it's the screen of
I can see it.
Have been out of.
No, I think it's Noxy. I can see it.
Okay. Maybe it's just me. Okay. You know, I can live with that. Thank you, that's better now.
Let me find out. You can't see it completely or is
no,
that
no.
The words
are good now, Chair. It's good now, Chair. It's okay. It's like it was before now. Thank you, Chair.
Oh, okay. You're welcome. But what's the guy now?
It's sweet.
Let
me know
the guy can move. Ruana Mumalam. Unali,
hey.
Very hot.
Okay.
8.30. It's raining in Gauteng.
Munat.
Yo. It's hot. I hope it's also raining in the Northern Cape, Tutoi, because we are facing drought that side.
Because Reburita got to Ravule Gate, it's raining.
So, John Ravule Gate from Kwamhlanga straight to Pretoria. Vele Pretoria, the plague of Mandevele.
Jay.
Okay, 8.13.
Chairperson, if I may, for Honorable Ryder, he writes as follows. He says, since the budget cuts are now reliant on a court process, it is not fully understood whether that court decision not be in favor of government, the cuts to each department will be reversed in order to ensure that salaries are paid in compliance with the court order. Are we to expect a further adjustment budget later in the financial year? That is his comment on 8.13. I also noticed that there's a typo in the last paragraph. It says wage bill as it should be the absence in this, you know, yeah, that's clear. But anyway, that was the comment from Honorable Ryder. I am not sure of the detail of what he has actually said here, but that was his comment. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks. Dr. George, let me get the court order clearly. Is there a court order in regard to which decision?
He says as follows. Since the budget cuts are now reliant on a court process, it is not fully understood whether should that court decision not be in favor of government, the cuts to each department will be reversed in order to ensure that salaries are paid in compliance with the court order. Are we to expect a further adjustment budget later in the financial year? I must admit I do not know the detail of what he's mentioning here. But he seems to believe that regarding
we are losing you, Dr. George.
I apologize for that. I hope that you can hear me now.
I can hear you now.
Oh, you can. Yeah, my signal is unstable, it says. But yeah, so he's making reference to a court, some kind of court process. I'm not sure what the reference is on that, and I haven't spoken to him on this, so I'm not sure, to be honest, but that's what his point is. So if there is, in fact, some kind of court process going on, then we must be mindful of that. I think that's all the comment that he has. Thanks, Chair.
Chairperson, if I may clarify that. Chairperson, can I just come in there, please?
Okay, Honorable Karen.
Yeah, Noxie will remember this issue rose, I think it was Sharon on Friday from Saika who raised it. She said, okay, you guys are a Treasury SAG. that the wage negotiations, that's the issue, Dion, is the court process. What if government loses the case? Have you got a plan B is what she asked, I think. What she meant was, what are you going to do? To which I think at some stage, Noxie, I think, or didn't judge was coaching, I replied, you know, well, presumably they will negotiate, which they are doing anyway. So the two are not like mutually exclusive, the court process and the negotiations. I think the negotiations, Chairperson, have been suspended while the court process is unfolding. But the point that's been raised is a valid one, Chairperson. It's not a party political one. It's something really that is a valid one. Does it mean that let's say the government loses in the court, right, from Rachel, and then what happens is the negotiations utterly fail and no one wants to compromise, neither party, then I think what this chapter, what Dennis is asking is, are you going to come with another adjustments budget? What I think he means, will you come with another appropriations bill? So that's a fair question. But this matter, again, is an appropriations matter. And we can pass laws and then undermine them, but I think it's very difficult. I don't want you to throw back at the chairperson. Yeah, but Eunice, this thing is very complicated. Even we as chairs don't sometimes know what goes away. But what we did agree on, Kayla, surely you'll remember, was that we would say something like, the committee notes the concerns, which we've done before, it's the norm. The committee notes the concerns of the public and our own concern, the PBO and FFC's concern, about the wage bill, right, the difference of views on it or something. And that as this is an appropriations matter, we recommend that the Appropriations Committee look at this while bearing in mind something like these matters are ultimately shaped through negotiations, public service bargaining council and other appropriate forums. So basically here, if let's say what Dennis suggests might happens, then all that will mean is we don't have another adjustment budget. All we do is like, you know, we have like the Caladian decrees we have dealt with, which is like a sort of special appropriations bill. My own view, Comrade Chair, and I think most of us in the majority party will agree, that's unlikely to happen. What's likely to happen is somehow or the other, the negotiations will have to be sorted out. But it still means, Dennis is right, it means more money may have to be allocated for the wage bill, public sector wage bill, than currently is there in the appropriations adjustment. So that is a matter that if we bring a single bill, if I understand it, Frank might be able to help us, I may have it wrong. If there's a single issue around which you want to make changes, you bring a special appropriations bill. That's what they'll have to do, presumably. But there's nothing we can do about it as a finance committee or even the appropriations. We can just note it. So we can just note that point and say that perhaps the appropriations committee wants to apply its mind to it. But they too, Chairperson, of this score can do very little, if I'm correct, Frank. And actually, you know, it's bound by the labor relations dispensation. And we are not mediators. I mean, we are political mediators, but we are not negotiators in a labor forum. That's not our job. That's why we have all these structures, which we pass by law.
Thank you, Chair.
Chair.
Honorable Masambu. Jandu.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, members. Chair,
yes
on 8.13, I think it makes reference. If we one look at the first part of the paragraph, it makes reference specific to the wage bill. So it's not a cross-cutting to all departments, but it makes reference to the issue of the court to be specific on the wage bill. So I just want to concur on that point made by Honorable Karim. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Fula Tamidu Upi. Chair, I want to agree with Honorable Karim. Nkosi Karim, all the time, he's throwing everything to appropriation. And today I agree with him.
the issue of the adjusted appropriations bill is a matter for appropriations committee. What will happen is that we'll be starting with DORA tomorrow process, and then from there adjusted the appropriations bill. But we are not sure if by then the dispute between labor and government, employer and employees, will have been resolved, or there will be a court order or something that will need to be incorporated into the adjusted appropriations bill. We are not sure. So we have always avoided to get into the middle of the issue because it's not our space. The government has to deal with it, and after resolving it, we will see how is our role. But definitely we will deal with the adjusted appropriations bill, but I'm not sure if by then there will be something in as far as the wage bill is concerned. Thank you, Chief.
Chairperson, can I raise a point of order? Not to you, Chairperson. It's unusual. Frank can say whether it's constitutional. So I want to raise a point of order for another Chairperson. I didn't throw anything to her. Actually, it's in the law that she has self-passed the Money Bills Act, firstly, point one. Point two is the person she's accusing of throwing things to a Chairperson, you have to defend me to be fair, is the same Chairperson that is in her very appropriations committee too, so I'm throwing it at myself. So point three, Chairperson, ask Frank, if Comrade Chairperson Dikleli Mashlangu was not happy about what's there in the Act, which she herself passed, well, she's also got the right to come and make a decision.
I'll call Tandy for you, Chairperson. I'll call Tandy for you. She'll come and sort it out.
Thank you, Chairperson.
There seems to be battles that are unsettled. So becomes difficult for some of us who were not part of it.
Get used to it. Get
a more serious point. Chairperson, may I make a more serious point? Sorry. You see the wording here, Comrade Chair? This is a serious point. Sorry, I was just being facetious with Dikleli. You see, like, this last sentence is very crude, and it's not the quality of language that Kele Shlope normally uses. So I don't know who drafted this, but I mean, to say things like this, let's get politically loaded, Comrade Chair. It says the committee believes the government needs to strike a deal. That's a bit clumsy, right? I mean, to negotiate an amicable agreement, I would suggest, with labor in order to control the wage bill. That's an ideologically loaded term. I mean, control meaning, you know, it's the government's job to control the wage bill. Firstly, it's not government's job. It's our job as parliament to deal with the budget overall, though we can't intervene in the actual negotiation. So I really think, Comrades, here, if the majority will agree, let's change that wording to a more diplomatic, not politically more, let's say, appropriate language. Can't we just say the committee believes that government needs to negotiate with labor to arrive in a give and take manner or something to an amicable settlement, taking into account COVID circumstances and constraints on the budget or the constraints on the budget to manage the wage bill in the context of all the other immediate needs. Something like that, Chairperson. I mean, Bekele is quite capable of doing it, but this is a bit too politically loaded. No one ever said control the wage bill. That may be a DA point of view, obviously. Sounds like the sort of thing that Dion, or not Dion, so much as Jordan would say. So really, I don't agree with the wording, but I'm cool if everybody else agrees with it. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. I think the researchers will take that into consideration. And also, we should not take decisions in anticipation that in case the court rules, we don't know in whose favor will the court rule, whether in favor of government or in favor of labor. We take note that there is a court process where the labor has taken government to court, but let's stop there of noting the court processing. But just for us to express a view that in case the government loses the case, this is what should happen. I think if that statement goes out like that, it will be like Parliament is influencing the court processes. and it will be in a very bad light. So let's take note, and then as you are recommending, that we recommend that government should negotiate with labor in order to reach an amicable settlement. So send your phrase, Honorable Karim, the way you are paraphrasing it, to the researchers for them to capture it properly. 8.14, it's quite a long paragraph.
Chairperson, I have a comment here from Rada. He says that he disagrees with the proposal in 14, that it is an ideological debate and Parliament should not be funding a talk shop which will not have an outcome. So that is a concern that he's raising, a comment here on this section. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. So you are opposed to what is proposed in 14?
Chairperson, yes, that this symposium, this will cost money, etc. The issue is that questionable impact. So, you know, money will be spent on this particular symposium, but you know, will it be just another talk shop, and then what will the outcome of it be? And I think that's the critical point that was made by Honorable Rada. Thanks, Chair.
Chairperson, may I just come in here? I think there's a misunderstanding here. I don't know where the word symposium comes from, but again, in Jadu might help us. We never ever said any such thing, as I recall it. You were not there, Chairperson. Njadu was there, and Noxie came in and out because she's having what you call signal issues. But essentially what was said, there was a very reasonable thing. What's wrong with you, Chairperson? When the National Treasury replied, you know, they basically were raising a lot of, as they often do, but they presented, as you know, Chairperson, like it's a matter of fact, like math or arithmetic, you know, that it's a neutral thing. That's the way they speak. I'm sure if I was in Edgar's position or Tondo's position, I would be the same and you would be the same. It's a function of the role you play. But one of the things they did was they took on the PBO. On the PBO's point of view, essentially to make it crude, if they're on this platform, they might have different view, but that's not the engagement here. Essentially what I recall, if I recall it correctly, the PBO's argument is austerity doesn't work. It's never worked anywhere. I think they seem to think that IMF and World Bank are also taking the route that austerity is not the way out. Of course, Treasury argues in reverse, well, maybe, you know, there are countries in the developed world that can do it because of their powerful economies and their capacity to raise huge surpluses overnight. South Africa is in a perilous parlous situation, blah, blah, blah. You know the debate. Now, it keeps going on about austerity versus stimulus. You know, in our own movement, we have that debate, right? So basically, all the chair said at the time was, look, this isn't the occasion, because PBO got hot on the collar, and they gave very good replies to Treasury. Obviously, Treasury will have to come back. It's a Friday. We have to finish at 12. So all that was suggested is, it's not complete, this debate. We keep having a chairperson. Every time a budget comes up or something similar, PBO will make this point. We never fully exhaust them. Treasury does its reply. They never fully exhaust their point. So all that was said was, see, I don't recall any word ever, well, somebody might have said symposium. I don't recall anybody agreeing we're going to have a cost entail thing. It's like this meeting. This meeting does cost us. I don't know what Dennis is raising. Shouldn't we have this meeting? Because it's costing data for everybody in Parliament. So no, that was never the intention of any money. So I think you must understand. Basically, it is this, Jefferson. We want to have a meeting where before February next year, preferably, Treasury is present, PBO is present, and any other relevant stakeholder. And let's have it out. The topic will simply be something like, you know, we can find an appropriate topic, but the views on austerity and stimulus, basically, what are key challenges and theoretical and strategic issues at stake. We can find the topic. We can have it anytime. There's no cost. It'll be held through virtual. People will be home-based if COVID persists in their homes. So I don't know what cost Mr. Ryder is talking about. I don't know how much it costs to go from his bedroom to his study, but it certainly don't cost the rest of us a lot of money. One problem may be they can get a smaller house. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. That's the background to this recommendation. Okay, 8.16.
8.16. Chairperson, I have already put my position on that point, made the statement that I was making regarding the fact that every single public participant who came to the committee, and I was at all of those meetings, did not support the bailout or whatever you want to call it to South African Airways. So that's, I believe, a very material important point that the report should point out, that it was not supported by anybody from the public participation process. Having said that, also then Mr. Ryder, Honorable Ryder, adds on that he believes that waiting for the next quarterly briefing for information does not enable any member of the committees to make an informed decision when choosing whether to support this framework or not. The matter is a key policy issue. Allocating funding in this quantum would be irresponsible without this briefing. The minister should inform us before we approve the framework. Time constraints are not our doing and should not be an excuse. So essentially he's saying is that it's we can't wait. We need to know if there's going to be this bailout, whatever you want to call it. We need to know where the money's going to go, what's it going to be spent on, etc. Because as I said before, 10.5 billion rand, yes, it's a lot of money in terms of service delivery to the people, etc., that we're not going to be getting now because the FAA will get it. But the point is 10.5 billion rand is probably not enough money to keep them afloat. So, you know, that's the key point, that it is money that is not well spent. So I think the point is that we wanted to have more information earlier in the process and not wait for distant time. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks. I think we have agreed earlier on that we are going to call convene a meeting of the five committees. That is the four finance committees of NASOP plus the public enterprises. And Akbar Dutoy has recommended that the Minister of Public Enterprise should be there in that meeting. And we have agreed with that recommendation that both the Minister of Finance and Public Enterprise should be part of that meeting. So it's just that we have discussed this point earlier on. So now that we come to it, we have to revert back to what we have agreed to before. So it's not at what you are raising, Honorable Dr. George. And let's speak to what we have resolved. We'll make a note that we are worried about this money being taken from other departments. For instance, it's 459 million, if I'm not mistaken, from local government. That's a lot of money. It's going to have a serious impact on the service delivery. If instead of allocating more to local government, you take more from them when they are struggling with their service delivery. So we'll note and then make a recommendation in this regard. 8.17.
Chairperson, yes. I wanted to make two comments on that. The first one is that the report makes reference, this is my perspective, that the report makes reference to dependence on the fiscus is reduced. Now, obviously, that implies that the state-owned enterprises would remain dependent on the fiscus. I don't think that ever was the intention of these enterprises when they were established many years ago, is that they would actually be able to sustain themselves with maybe minimal support from government. So I think that is a little bit weak, that wording in terms of dependence on the fiscus is reduced, that we should rather be saying that they don't drain the fiscus as they currently do. But that is my comment on that item. And then Honourable Ryder says that 8.17 is written for the National Assembly Committee and needs to be reworded for select committee purposes. It is furthermore questionable why a new council needs to be established when a ministry was established to do this. One should recall the state-owned entities were previously housed in their relevant departments. We are introducing a new layer and probably a new layer of costs to achieve what the ministry should be doing. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks. This presidential state-owned council comes from the Presidential Review Commission recommendations. It's quite an old report. I think it was published, it was many years ago, I'm not sure whether 2014 or what. It was led by Mr. Riapierre, that even before she became a commissioner of police, she was leading that review commission. And amongst others, in order to tighten oversight, that's monitoring of enterprises, it is recommended by that commission that there should be an establishment of that council. And if I'm not mistaken, they are drawing experience from either Indonesia or from Singapore. So the purpose and the rationale for establishing that council is well detailed in the PRC. So not necessarily another enterprise. And these enterprises, I mean, these SOEs are categorized. There are those which are commercial, which don't need government money or money from fiscals, like your IGC, your DBSA, and a whole range of others. But there are those that were established for different purposes. And if you look at that report of Riapierre and her team, it categorizes SOEs, the commercial, there are different categories. So there will be those that will really need to get assistance from government for some time because of their nature. But those that don't need government will have to single them out, that at some stage they will have to stand alone. So I'm raising this so that when we discuss this matter, we discuss it in context and with the background where it comes from. It's just that now the SOEs are in a very difficult situation, unlike when that report was published. Okay. 8.20.
Chairperson, if I may, these are my comments on that 8.20. I do see that it says that the majority support, looking into prescribed assets, etc. I do want it to be noted, and my comment is that the DA does not support the introduction of prescribed assets. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks. Akbar Edison.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Honourable Chair, also please note that the Freedom Fund Plus does not support prescribing assets at all. Please note it as well.
Okay. Okay, you are restating the your position, like when we dealt with the adjustment budget.
That's correct, Chair. I believe that the Freedom Front Plus is one of the parties that is steadfast in its views. So if you see it as repetitive, let it be.
Okay. But is it raining in Northern Cape or you are still facing drought?
The Northern Cape is dry, Honourable Chair, without assistance that is needed. So I believe that we can tend to that in the Appropriations Committee as well. But thank you for thinking about that.
Don't throw everything to the Appropriations Committee, Petoy.
They want disaster relief fund. they have been facing drought for quite some time, and it's worrisome.
Yeah, and I was just teasing Dick Aledi by saying, now look, Mr. Jutoy is throwing things to the Appropriations Committee at all.
You want to start another battle with Committee Grade? Will you finish it, Karim?
Sorry, Chair, will you?
We must pick up battles, Honorable Karim.
Lost May 8, May 9, 8.
by that committee. Okay. 21. The committee requires the Treasury to respond more comprehensively to Mr. Miyakani's land tax proposal. Do we have to write names of stakeholders who make submissions and take that report to the chamber? Is this proper?
Now, Chairperson, to be fair, this matter has been dragging on for years, and on Friday we took a decision. This gentleman comes here all the time and makes the same point. I have engaged with him, Chairperson, and rescued you from having to do that over the phone the day before the hearing, and explained to him that nobody, none of the parties, Chairperson, agrees with his view that you must only tax land. You cannot tax income or the value of a house and so on. We encountered him first. He belongs to an ideological lobby. They're based in Washington and they're worldwide. They believe you must only tax land only. Now in South Africa, as you know more than me, I mean, land is a very emotional issue. You know, it's an issue not just of value, but of custom and tradition and heritage and so on. It's not workable, but he keeps coming back to make the same point. So finally, because he's been dragging on now, he's come twice or thrice in a row, I suggested a way out. That's why we have to mention his name. It is to say, look, we can't endlessly, him come is making the same points, Treasury coming and saying, no, we can't do what you're saying. We have to overhaul the entire system of finances in South Africa. So can you settle it by fully replying to him offline, give us a copy, and then Mr. Meekin can appear before Parliament, but he can't raise the same issues over again, Chairperson. So it was a practical way out. It's a decision we took, as I remember it. Nobody disagreed with it. And Chairperson, please be assured, if we don't do this, it's going to be back to square one again next February, next October, and so on. So all parties that were there, according to my knowledge, Mr. Njadu, they agreed to it. That's all it is. We don't normally, and the recommendations mentioned, because then other people say, why are we not mentioned? But in certain specific cases to resolve a matter that's been dragging on for years, it is appropriate, Chairperson, please.
Yes, I just wanted to understand the background because there are so many...
Yeah, I know, that's right.
...that make submissions.
Yes.
And factor in their submissions in our observations and recommendations. However, I just wanted to understand the background. Why do we pick up on two stakeholders and put them in a report that goes into Parliament, won't this be raised at some stage? Why is it a biasness? Why? So if we don't have the rationale, it can catch up with us. But if that is the background that you are busy, I will not have a problem. But I think it should not be the practice that no matter how hot an issue, that there are certain stakeholders that find their names into the assembly and the NPOP, and others are left out. I'm raising it for future purposes, and not for now.
Yeah, no, Chairperson, you are right, absolutely right. That has been the norm. I think you're right. Maybe we should say something to this effect, Chairperson, that in view of the recurring debate over many years between Mr. Meekin and his institute or whatever, and Treasury and the committee, and something like, given that the committee has heard this extensively and regrets that it cannot agree, or just it cannot agree with Mr. Meekin, and to settle this matter, I think we can find a short way of saying that. I'll send you a few words. So let me explain why we're putting that in. As for the other reference to an individual structure, we have sometimes said COSATU in the negotiations and so on, so that's a structure. We do mention that, and we explain why. So I think you're right, we should add something here, but it's not as if we are favoring. In fact, the reverse applies here. We are opposed to what he's saying, and I've tried to persuade him over the phone. It hasn't worked, and I think we need to settle this matter. So I think we will do what you're saying, which is add a few words about why.
Yes, I think let's justify it so that we are not caught up and moving forward. 22. Okay, 23.
Chairperson, I have a comment here from Honourable Rada, and he says as follows, on 24, he says, the committee also encourages law enforcement agencies and the justice cluster to expedite processes to bring corruptors and corruptees to book in order to send a message to would-be thieves of public money. The slow pace of justice is impacting negatively on economic sentiment. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks. That's a comment from Honourable Ryder. Noted. 25. We want to thank everybody who participated in this process.
25 is Yunus' favorite point on appropriations, Chair.
I thought you're not part of this debate, coward.
He's throwing it.
That who comes yet chatayat with your loss.
Yeah.
I think I want to add an amendment to that. Say the committee thanks all those who participate in its process, comma, except Ms. Mashlangu and Ms. Noxi Abrahams. Thank you.
Delete.
You have lost that battle even before. Okay.
That's because you're a very weak chairperson. You're scared of them. That's why.
I have got respect for them.
Amanda, chairperson.
I have.
Long live that the appropriations chair from the NCOP.
Populism.
So we see this. Okay, now we go into the adoption process. We'll start with the lower house of Commons, and then later the House of the Lords, the traditional leaders will take the final decision.
Why more traditional leaders?
Yeah, not the traditional leaders. Again, with commoners, and then the traditional. That's the British. The British. Okay, and then now let's go into the meeting of Standing Committee on Finance. Are we all there?
Later,
I will hand over to Comrade Yunis to chair the meeting of a select committee. Now we are in the NA committee. I have somebody raising a voice.
Honourable George here, I would just like to say that the BA will reserve its position in the report, and we will do that with both of the reports. Thank you.
I can't hear you properly, Honourable George. The sound was not proper.
My apologies, it's unstable. The BA would reserve our position on the reports.
Okay, that will be... left to be recorded, Secretary. Okay. Honorable Shivam.
We're voting against the adoption.
Okay, let me get somebody to position.
Chairperson? Chairperson?
I will come to you, Barre.
Yes, can you please note the objection of the FF Plus?
Objection of FF Plus, not that. Objection of DA, objection of...
This is a new marriage.
Chairperson, the DA did not say we objected. We said we would reserve our position.
Yeah. I was wondering, because Honorable Chairperson, the report has also accommodated the views of the DA, and therefore it would be unfair for them to reject. I understand how an Honourable George puts it now.
Okay. Can somebody officially move for the adoption of the report so that it is recorded?
Move for the adoption of the report.
Honourable Mabilata moves for the adoption. Any seconder?
I second, Chair. Honourable Abraham.
Honorable Abraham, second, and then we note the reservation and the objections by the two parties. Thanks very much, honorable members of the Standing Committee of Finance. Over to you, Honorable Karim, NCOP Select Committee.
Okay.
Before we adjourn, probably the secretariat will have the announcement. But let me hand over now this part of adoption of the report to Honorable Karim.
Thank you, Comrade Chair. Now we are in the meeting only of NCOP committee members. You know the routine. Obviously, the report we're going to vote on has simply replaced the word standing with select, right? Now, Mr. Ryder made the point, I think he forgot, that we don't vote on the same report. He made one point about that applies only to the Finance Committee and the NA. Some issues do, but then they meet on their own, and mostly what we say here is a joint thing. So obviously their program is different from ours and so on. So that matter is addressed through that. So can we get a mover for the report that says Select Committee? A mover,
I move, Chair.
Thank you, Dikileri. Seconder?
I second, Chair Njadu.
Okay, then on behalf of Dikileri, I just remind members with the same committee that we're meeting tomorrow in the appropriation.
Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Joe. We done.
Honorable Chair.
Yes, you object, yeah.
Honorable Chair,
please note the objection of the Freedom Front Plus.
Okay, and then the EFF post, yes. Okay.
Yes, we reject the report, Chair. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Nicole Lech, was there anything left for us to do?
Chair, I just want to confirm that you've noted the DA's preserving our position.
Yeah, look, I'll ask Frank. I thought about that. I'm sure that's not a problem. Frank, obviously there's no GA member in the committee, but they have formally written to me. So is that, Frank, is that acceptable as, or do they have to be physically? I think they have to be here. Am I right, Frank, quickly? Can you deal with that? Is Frank here?
Yes, Chair, I'm here. I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got this question before. I mean, for the sake of the report, I mean, the committee must adopt the report. We don't have, I mean, if they've sent in submissions to the reports and the committee is happy with that, then there's no problem, Chair.
So we can just note, yeah. Okay, yes. Thank you then. So, right. Let you do the normal.
Chair,
thanks, everybody. Yes,
I want to say, Chair.
Yeah.
I just want to say, Chair, Honorable George is from the National Assembly, so we can't accept that. He's not in this committee.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's the exact point, Jadu, you're right. That's the exact point that I raised with Frank. Leon knows that, but he's just making the point. So obviously he can't speak on behalf of the DA and the NCOP, even if it's a joint report. What Frank is saying is because, what's his name, Dennis has written to us, that is fine. But Frank, just to cover yourself, it's not a major issue. Just check it out and send me a one-liner or something to confirm that your understanding is correct. It's neither here nor there, because they will come and oppose it anyway tomorrow afternoon in the NCOP House. Okay, that's done. Is there any other issue, please, NCOP members? Nope? Thanks. Okay, thanks, Joe. We're done. Thank you very much. We're out. Thank you.
Announcement. Said something about announcement.
No, I mentioned that tomorrow the NCOP Appropriations Committee meets, so the same comrades and colleagues are there. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you want to add something? Do you want to add something?
No, Chair.
Okay, good, good. Thank you all. Bye.
The meeting is officially closed.